something.
I will destroy them all.
Hello, yes, and welcome back to the Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast. And you're here this week with me. Yes, it's the English side of things. It's the wonderful Bill. Ha ha ha. Yeah, or maybe not so. But yes, hello everybody and welcome back. How you all been? How you doing? Yeah, good. Yeah, all right. Yeah, keeping up. How's tricks? Yeah. Oh, Dave, I see you over there, Dave. Dave, what's going on? No. Well, just give it back to her and I'm sure it will smooth things over. Anyway, yes, welcome back and welcome back to whatever episode this is. And we are currently in our post-season because we are normally an Attack on Titan podcast. If this is where you've chosen to start this podcast, like, why? Why didn't you choose a Dick Fight Island episode? Come on, clearly that is where you should have started listening to the Coordinate. But, yes, we are normally an Attack on Titan podcast. Me and my buddy Tyler, well, mostly Tyler, just wanted someone to talk to Attack on Titan about because he was reading the manga, so he forced me into this. So yeah, we started off, we read the manga until we caught up with the TV show, and then we started reviewing the TV show when the final season started. Well, the first part of the final season, which was technically two seasons ago. Will it ever end? Who knows? But yes, we're kind of, because the TV show's come to an end, till 2023, we're in a bit of a post-season, so we're just suggesting random things to each other to watch or to read, and just see how things pan out. I think Tyler's got a list somewhere, which he didn't send me a bloody link to, so I'm going to have to try and remember what he said. Luckily, this list's very short at the moment, you know. It's got Jujutsu Kaisen and Dick Fight Island on it. And he put Dick Fight Island, what's the other thing he reviewed? Oh, Log Horizon, that was it. So we've only got three things on this list, right? He put Jujutsu Kaisen top, I'm pretty sure. Come on. The best thing we've had out of the three, Log Horizon, Jujutsu Kaisen, Dick Fight Island, has been Dick Fight Island, you know? I'm not going to read any more of it, but... because it's rather gross. But it's just like, I'm not going to... Yeah, no. Dick Fight Island is definitely better than the other two. Sorry, Jujutsu Kaisen fans, but it's true. So, what am I here for today? Yes, I am here to talk to you about the first three episodes of an anime called 86. And that's just the numbers, 8 and 6. And it's an anime series that was actually based off a light novel, which was written by a lady called... you have to get my names here. Toru... Asakura. Is that the name of the girl from Asakura? I think that's, it might be the same name as the girl, like the main girl protagonist in Sword Art Online. God, my brain. It's just farting out of my ears. I think it's the girl from Sword. I think that's the same name. It looks similar. You know, I kind of watched half of Sword Art Online in Japanese and half of it in English. So I'm used to reading that name, but not really knowing what it is. But yes, she goes by the pen name Astro, and she's a female Japanese novelist who was born in 1985. You go, girl. That's a brilliant year to be born. Boom, 36, 37. Love it. but yes, this is kind of her notable works. And she actually won a Kadowoka Beans Bunko Rookie Award in 2014 for her manuscript, which made it to the third round of something else. But yeah, then into... But yeah, and yeah, the novel. Well, anyway, the novel that she submitted for this award and got an award for would later on be the first chapter of 86. So I'm sure you're all thinking to me, Bill, what is 86? What is 86? So it's an anime, as you well know by this point. Sorry. It was kind of, it was something that she was knocking around with the ideas for. Like, she started writing light novels and stuff before she entered like Japanese high school or whatever they call it. Good old Astro. I love that name, Astro. Apparently, it's like a twist on her name. So it's like her first name mixed with the words 88, which, considering you're famous for a novel called 86, I'm super confused by this information. But that's what it is, apparently. Astro. She got a bit of information, she got a lot of inspiration from the film Mist, which is a film based off of a Stephen King novel. I vaguely remember seeing it, but I can't remember anything about it. But she's pretty hardcore. She'd literally spend like 6 to 8 hours a day writing. So, yeah, you know, fair enough. Very, very impressed. But yeah, this was originally a light novel, which comes in 11 parts and is still being written today, I believe. Part 11 of the light novel, there hasn't actually been an English release yet. The Japanese one only came out February 10th of this year, so we're still looking for more of that. And then there's also a manga adaptation, which is currently ongoing. I don't think that has got a English release at all. And then, of course, there's the anime, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. It's a weird concept, and Tyler mentioned that it gets a few... one of the reasons he suggested this to me was because apparently it gets a lot of comparisons to Attack on Titan. And having watched the first 3 episodes, I don't get that at all. Like, this doesn't feel anything like Attack on Titan in the slightest. It's a very... different. I mean, I guess the comparisons are that it's kind of set within, although it's not, I don't think it's, they haven't actually shown, I don't know if they've shown it to be like a walled city, but basically there's these 85 districts that are kind of like safe and good to live in, if that makes sense. And then outside of this, so again, this is probably where it gets the comparisons to Attack on Titan. Because in Attack on Titan, you've got the 3 walls, and then everything outside the walls was basically Titan territory. So no one inside the walls knew what was beyond the Titans. You know, obviously we know that now because we've read a lot of stuff, we've watched a lot of stuff. Stuff's gone down, people have been eaten, Connie's mum got pregnant. Can you believe it? And that's an inside joke on the Discord. If you want to join the Discord, see the show notes below. It's a great place, and we've got a good few people in there now talking about the coordinate with us. I'm sure there are probably much, much better Attack on Titan Discords out there in the world, but damn it, if you want to talk to me and Tyler and our confusing lives and in-jokes, that's the place to be. So yeah, come join our Probably Work Discord. That's a great place. where was I? Yeah, so you got a wall... So, it's very much in that same sort of thing where everyone within the walls is listening to the government propaganda about the stuff that's going on outside of these districts. And the district outside is generally referred to as 86. And I mean, I guess the real theme of this show is racism. Like, and how that's kind of dealt with from both sides of the story. And I love the way the show shows both sides of the story. Like, you'll watch the first half of the show, you'll get a little tiny intermission scene or something pop up, and then the next bit is literally almost the exact same plot and storyline, but you see it from the other side. You know, I'll get into the two sides in a bit, but I love the way it switches, and it does... You get the view from one side, you get the view from the other. And it's very hard-hitting at times, seeing how both sides are reacting to the same situation differently. And, yeah, it's really, really cool. I really like it. I just spoilers out there, guys. I really like 86, you know. Currently, if I wasn't doing Attack on Titan podcast, I'd probably start an 86 podcast. Really, really fucking enjoying this. Excuse my French.
Editor's note. Bill forgot about adding an ad break. So here is Tyler trying to make you drink alcohol. And yes, Bill's editor is a sexy British lady. Deal with it.
So the actual show is produced by Aniplex and produced and led by A1 Pictures. And it premiered back in April 11th, 2021. So this is fairly new. And then the second half of the season premiered in October, on the 2nd of October 2021 as well. So just to sort of give you a brief idea of the overview of the plot. So the we're kind of part of the Republic of San Mongolia. I say we, you know, that's kind of the perspective that we're thrown into. And they're at war with the Galdian Empire for 9 years. And it is initially, though it had like initially like devastating losses to the Empire's autonomous mechanized legions. So basically drones. So this is like, this whole thing is about warring with mechs, but one side created drones. Thank you, phone. Fuck you. One side created drones in order to fight the war without losses. And then the actual Republic of San Magnolia. Magnolia? Oh, what the hell? Can't read today. Yeah, San Magnolia. So the Republic of San Magnolia. Bloody Magnolia. Worst shade of white, that is. Sorry to all you people who painted your house Magnolia, but damn. You know, I highly recommend a shade of white called Jabbo. You know, that's what I put on my walls, and it's chef kiss. You want to get some Jabbo on there, yeah? You know, none of this Magnolia stuff. You know, that's for grannies and old people. Don't have that anymore. Jabbo, that's the way forward. Okay. Bill suggests paint. Moving on. Do your ceilings in Roman white? No, brilliant white. Yeah, never use Roman white. Yeah, brilliant white for the ceilings. Jabbo on the walls. Beautiful. Get a lovely combination there. yeah, anyway, so the public sort of had its own autonomous, in, I'm going to do air quotes here, juggernauts, which are directed remotely by a handler. And then while on the surface, the Republic believes that the war is being fought between machines, in reality, the juggernauts are actually being piloted by humans. And all of them are of the 86. So this is kind of where the racism of everything comes into it. So this final district, which I told you, which is like everything outside of this big circular 85 districts that they have, people who live or born or whatever in that area is kind of, they are considered to be subhuman, often referred to as pigs and other sorts of things. It's pretty horrific, really, the level of racism that it goes to. But they're kind of, all those people are prosecuted and they've been stripped of their rights by the racist-led Alba government. And that's kind of where the whole thing comes in, because they keep saying, in today's war, blah, 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 this thing happened, but there were no human losses. There were human losses, but they were 86. So they don't consider them to be human. And it's kind of, as that reality dawns on you while you're watching the show, it's pretty grim and horrific. But it kind of deals with that in a good way for your main character. So Valdinia Melanese, who's just called Lena, she's one of the Alba nobles, and she's a military officer in the Republic's military. This is kind of, she's almost like the face of the show, but I don't consider her to be the main character. Okay, she is one of the main characters, and she's very much a focal point, especially during the first three episodes. But you kind of really get the feeling that the guy on the other side, the 86 character, who's referred to as Undertaker, he's kind of the main guy, really. But yeah, she ends up getting reassigned to something called the Spearhead Squadron, who are considered to be like, I don't know, like a handful, like some of the operators. The previous operators handling this team of 86ers in the juggernauts have like gone off and committed suicide for various reasons, or just quit their posts, like whatever's happening. And it's all down to this main, like the leader of the squadron, who's referred to as Undertaker. So they all have call signs, basically. And yeah, one of them is called the Undertaker, and he's basically just giving people shit to the point where they seem to quit. But yeah, and like I said, a couple of them committed suicide, so it's all a bit suspicious. But yeah, she's very different to the rest of the group, like the rest of the soldiers as well, because we get to see this beautiful city. It's immaculate. It's clean. She's very prim. Her hair's perfect. She's got a hat on. She's wearing her uniform and it's all done up perfectly. She walks into this grand giant building, which is like the military center and where all the operators, handlers sit down to handle their squadrons of 86s. But everyone else, as she walks in, everyone else in there is like drunk. You know, various stages of debauchery is going on. Nothing too sinister. You know, it's just drunks, people's uniforms aren't on correctly. They just don't give a shit. They're just going to go at some point. There's going to be a battle. They're going to go sit in their chair. They're going to operate a bunch of 86s. They don't give a shit if they die and try and beat these autonomous robots. And it's pretty bad. I'll get into the robots in a second as well, because the opposition, as they say, built these apparent autonomous robots. And God, how do I describe this? They built them like, you know, it's almost like they put lithium ion batteries in them, and these batteries last 9 years or something. And they're just the Magnolians, I'm going to call them the Magnolians, it's easy to remember. They believe that it's only going to, I think also, I'm not even sure if this is clear. I'll have to read it up in a second. But I'm pretty sure these robots almost turned on the nation that created them. I will confirm that momentarily. I'll have to do a bit of Bill's editor's notes. But I think so. I think they turned on their creators and basically destroyed them.
Editor's note, Bill was correct. Kinda. This might be a sign of the apocalypse. The inability of other countries to make any contact with the Jaidian government has given rise to the theory that the Legion went rogue 4 years before the war started and overran the Jaidian Empire before expanding outward. Sick tings, boys. Back to Bill talking bollocks.
And so the Magnolia regime is just basically trying to long out the 9 years it takes for these robots to eventually run out of batteries and die. But in the meantime, they have to sort of keep that army back away from the 85 districts. So there's all this fighting going on in the 86 district using the 86s, who everyone is racist against. Now, let's talk about the juggernaut, shall we? The M1A4, which I think is a gun in Call of Duty. I can't remember. I'm British. I'm not good with guns. I'll let other people think about that. But yeah, it's the it's basically the sole fielder of the Republic of Mongolia, and it's I think the best way to describe it is it's kind of like, oh no, it's not bipedal because that means you're on legs. It's got four legs. It's very spider-like, but with only four legs. Kind of looks like a weird beetle thing, and it's got a big gun on its back. And it's very, very mobile and quick. Personally, a bit of a shit mech, really. You know, this isn't like any sort of Metal Gear Solid. It's not Gundam Wing. It's just these weird little bug-like creatures. And that's what they use. They just use juggernauts with 86s inside them, controlling them as autonomous drones. But they're not autonomous. They've got people inside them. They're killing people, man. But yeah, it's a kind of cool mech. Whereas these other autonomous mechs from the other side are like absolutely banging. They look really cool. They're all like made out of smooth material. You've got little ones, you've got big ones, you've got mediums. They're all over the place, and they're all nice blue shiny things. And there's this weird like moth cloud. Now hold with me here. The moth cloud is enormous. Like it is such a big. Like, I don't know what they are. They're mechanical moths. I don't know where they come from. But, one of the things with the Spearhead Squadron is that they're always, like, they have very few casualties. And it's because of their leader, the Undertaker, who I'm going to get to really in a minute. And they get very few casualties. And it's because they mainly get to the fight early and set themselves up in a good spot. And, like, the Republic of Mongolia don't know, Magnolia, sorry, I keep saying Mongolia, of Magnolia, really don't know how they sort of do this. They're just like, you know, they just turn up, they're already there, don't know what's going on. But then when you actually see it from their perspective, they just see this giant cloud of mechanical moths flying through the air. They're like, oh shit, a battle's coming. Everyone get in your vehicles. And then they're there, ready, waiting for whatever to happen. Where, so I can only imagine that the other groups of 86ers are kind of just sitting there depressed in their rooms, waiting to get in their machines and be told to go out to battle and die. Which is very, very grim thought indeed. Very grim. And yeah, that's kind of like the overview of what's really going on with that stuff. Let's talk about the Undertaker for a second. Yeah, so I think the Undertaker is a guy called Shin. And there's him and a guy called Raiden, who they're kind of like the first core members of the squadron, having previously fought together in something else. there's also then Karinia and Theo who join, Andrew and Dia as well. There's just like, this is quite big. There's quite a lot of characters here. I'll just put it that way. But yeah, the main one to focus on is Lena and Shin, really, I'm going to say. because he's the guy leading the squadron, and he's kind of leading them like as a happy bunch. It does, again, kind of remind, like when you see them all sitting there together, it reminds you of the early days of Attack on Titan, when they all got into the Survey Corps and were training together, and they'd have all those scenes of them sitting around eating and having food. And that's another thing as well, food in like the main empire bit in the 85 district seems to be very scarce and rationed and tasteless. That's a big thing that I remember popping up at some point. Whereas Shin and the gang seem to be growing food and getting it, and they've got this like weird gigantic mechanical thing, which is like, it just looks like a giant box on legs, and it's, they call it Fido, and I think it goes off and fetches food and stuff. So that they have a big cook up every night and seem to be enjoying themselves. So we're kind of getting this weird sort of like, you know, the contrast between the two places, but also showing you that sometimes everything isn't always better in the nicer place. If that makes sense. Yeah, sure. You're going to get into a big mech and probably die tomorrow, but you can have a good slap up meal beforehand. but yeah, Shin is the main protagonist that I consider to be the main protagonist in this. And yeah, he's called the, he's call tag is the Undertaker. In the where shall I go from here? I've given a lot of exposition, so I mean, pretty much most of what I've explained is kind of fed to you in the first episode. Lena's got a friend who's like a doctor at the base, who's kind of like the only one who really understands her and stuff. And there's like a big on running joke as well, where the doctor sort of goes on dates with various different men, but it never seems to work out well. But Lena's never really paying much attention to what she's saying. Sounds harsh, but you know, it's one of those like how it is in anime. She's like the bit of comedy uplift that you get throughout this very, I mean, again, very hard hitting themes that are going on in the background of 86. And yeah, when we get to the first episode and she takes over the squadron, she basically just contacts them out of hours, mainly talking to Shin. But she puts on her little earpiece at home, logs in, and then just goes, "You're right. Yeah, it's me. I'm your new handler." And they're like, "Oh God." And one of the spearhead squadron is very anti her. She's just like, "Oh, another one. I can't wait for Shin to break her." And it's just like, they're really playing this up on how Shin breaks people. And by the end of the third episode as well, we really get to sort of see that come to fruition. So yeah, the first episode is mainly setting up that contact. The second episode really sets up the relationship of the spearhead squadron, like I said, how they get to the battles early. They say things to her like, "Oh, you know, one of the things that would be handy is if we had a good map of the area, but it's illegal to share that sort of information." And she's just like, okay. So she goes into a dusty old storeroom, digs out a map, and she finds a geological survey map of the area. So she knows where the high points and the low points are. And he's just like, "Thanks." You know, she directs one of his crew and says, "You should go over here." And he's like, "Yeah, go on, do it. Listen to her." Because this is the thing as well. They only listen to Shin. They don't listen to the handler, really. And there's a point as well where she tries to send them map information. And Shin tells her off. It's like, "If you send me map information, you're going to give away, like, the enemy can track that and going to give it away. Please just have comms only." She's like, oh, okay. And it's just like, yeah, fucking don't send me that shit if it's going to point me out to the enemy. Fucking hell. Jesus, man. And yeah, you get this growing relationship between her and the team, even though there's still that undertone of the difference between them. They keep thinking she's like an imperialist pig and thinking that she looks down upon them. And that's coming, because she kind of still is. She doesn't think she is. She's supposed to be like the good guiding light. She's supposed to be, you know, that it's this is like there's this Muhammad Ali quote, which I'm not going to remember either A, the question that was asked to him, or his proper response. It was something along the lines of, you know, do you still trust like white people or something? And he responded with like, well, it's one of those things where it's like a yes and no, but no. And he explains himself beautifully, which unfortunately I will not be able to do, trying to remember a random Muhammad Ali quote off the top of my head. But it was something like, you know, over the years, it was like millions of people oppressing black people and putting them down. And now there's like a few white people who are standing up for us and trying to protect us, which is great. But does that mean I'm going to let my guard down? It's like, no. I think he says something about adders or snakes. I think he says if there's like 10,000 snakes burst through the door and they're baying for my blood, something like that. And, you know, 1,000 of those snakes are well-intentioned and don't want to hurt me at all. But does that mean I'm going to sit here and hope that those 1,000 snakes come down and form a wall to protect me? No, I'm not. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. It was something along those lines. And that's what she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be one of these 1,000 snakes that doesn't intend to do harm. I'm very sorry to Muhammad Ali's memory there. I'll have to try and find that quote and put it in.
I want to do right, but there are so few. If 10,000 rattlesnakes was coming down that aisle now, and I had a door here I could shut, and in that 10,000, 1,000 meant right. 1,000 rattlesnakes didn't want to bite me. I knew they were good. Should I let all these rattlesnakes come down, hoping that 1,000 get together and form a shield? Or should I just close the door and stay safe?
I think that
you understand the Viet Cong are not all bad, but America's still dropping bombs. In Hiroshima, the Japan wasn't bad, but she still dropped the bomb. In Korea, they weren't bad, but they still dropped the bomb. So now I'm going to forget the 400 years of lynching and killing and raping and depriving my people of freedom, justice, equality, the first fired, last hired, the lowest of low, last respected. And I'm going to look at two or three white people who are trying to do right and don't see the other million trying to kill me. I'm not that big of a fool.
Yeah, so she's supposed to be one of these people who's not racist, not against the 86, but even still, it's like the whole situation of where she lives, her job, her country, the propaganda, it still has ingrained certain things into her. And that's where we lead up to into episode 3. So yeah, we get this whole building of the relationship between them. The Spearhead Squadron are still kind of keeping her at arm's length, and she's trying to gain their favor and be friends with them. She's asking them questions, talking about their cat, their relationships with each other, and it's all very, very friendly. And then we get to a point where in the battle that happens in episode 3, one of the characters in Spearhead Squadron dies. And at the end, she says, I'm very sorry that this person has died. And Shin just loses his shit. And he's just like, you don't give a top. And she's like, I do give a top. But he really goes into it. And he's just like, do you even know her name? You've been talking to us for weeks. You've been asking us questions. Have you ever asked us our real names? And that's even the episode. That's even what the thing's called. Yeah, that's even what the episode's called. It's called Real Name. And it's just harrowing, like the way he just suddenly snaps and lays into her, and she's just there at her seat, just like almost in tears, and just, oh yeah, it's it's really hard hitting. And I got to the end of that episode and I was just like, I need more of this. There's only one. I think there's like, you know, you've got the two halves of the, there's the two halves of this show, of this season. So technically you've kind of got two seasons really. But I was just like, oh man, I just want to keep going. I think if we did cover this show, it wouldn't take us long because, yeah, like I said, it's only one season so far, and God knows where the manga gets up to and whether we'd read all of that as well. But it was fantastic. So yeah, that's how it kind of comes to an end. She thinks she's responsible for one of the Spearhead Squadron's deaths. And I'm not even sure if it's Shin. It might be one of the other guys. But someone then just goes off on her how she never bothered to learn their real names. And this causes her to have a real emotional breakdown. And yeah, the show was great. It had ups, downs, and really, really drew me in. These three episodes just made me want to keep going. The same way the first three episodes of Attack on Titan did. I remember watching those three episodes of Attack on Titan and just being like, oh man, I just need more of this. Like, what is going on? This show is bonkers. People are getting eaten. It's gruesome. There's loads of stuff going on everywhere. I've got to see more of this. I've got to find out what happens to Eren and the gang. And here I am, still trying and waiting to find out. Will I ever find out? Will I fuck? Anyway, just going to rip open the Titan ball bag here. Oh, Tyler. Why do you have to leave six chickens in here? Like, two of them haven't got heads. What are you doing, mate? Right, somewhere. Ah, here we go. Right. Oh, God, you're Tyler. You're gross, man. You are gross. Tyler has actually given me something for the ball bag. He says, I haven't had time to check out 86 yet. Oh, you dick. Come on. Main question for the ball bag, though, is it too similar to Attack on Titan? No, it's not. It's fucking nothing like Attack on Titan at all. Even though you get some similar thematic themes, they feel very, very, very different. Very different, you know. Like I said, I don't even know if the city's walled or not. So yeah, he says stuff I read about it made it seem similar, but people seem to think it was doing the war aspects better. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's almost like bugger all war going on in an Attack on Titan. There was like the one attack where they ate Willy Kyber or whatever his name is, and then what's going on now, which is more of just a shit show of things and the rumbling. Whereas this is actually like there's tactical battles going on and stuff within the mechs trying to fight these other mechs. So yeah, it's cool. But yeah, other than that, no one really had any feedback apart from Benjamin sent us a gif, a meme saying that the coordinate Attack on Titan podcast rules. So, yeah, I completely agree with him. Well done, Benjamin. Yeah, and someone got Connie's mum pregnant. I think it was Tyler's cat. Oh, well, I'll have to wait. I'll have to put that on there for next week. So, anyway, Tyler, my lovely, thank you very much. You know, you've done swings and roundabouts for me here. First, I had to read Dick Fight Island, which was good and funny, and I would have read more had it not been pornographic. That's all I'm going to put out there. You know, that's why I said it was disgusting earlier. It's just like, it's just pornographic. I don't want to read fucking porn. You know, give me some credit. I'm a dirty, filthy bastard. But nah, I'm not reading fucking porn. So Tyler, what I want you to do by next week, and you better fucking be on time, sunshine. Oh, you're going to see the sharp end of my end. I want you to watch a show which is on Crunchyroll called The Promised Neverland. The Promised Neverland. Three episodes, big boy. One, two, and three. Yes, yes, please. And yeah, like I say, it's on Crunchyroll. And I've got a really good method, right, for picking out these shows for Tyler. I'm going to come on, gather around, people. Enter the circle of freedom where Bill lives. inside my crazy mind. So what I do is to pick these shows out for Tyler. So I open up the Crunchyroll app because Funimation's going away. No, actually, the reason I'm on Crunchyroll is because of Tyler, because he wanted me to watch 86 and it wasn't on Funimation. So I had to cancel my Funimation subscription and switch over to Crunchyroll, despite the fact, as everyone knows, I've got a big fucking problem with Crunchyroll because their Twitter account spoiled the fact that Sasha died. Yeah, so God, I'm fuming again. Anyway, so yes, that happened. So on Crunchyroll, I go through there and I just go into a bunch of things where there's a lot of shows and recommendations, and I just flick my finger on the screen. It goes wildly through all these shows, and I just stop it and I have a look and I go, oh, The Promised Neverland, that looks interesting. Tyler! Yeah, Tyler, so you're going to do The Promised Neverland next week. Yeah, 3 episodes, big boy. We'll go from there. So yeah, again, questions for the ball bag people, join us on Discord, and you can submit your questions there, and that's probably going to be the easiest place. You can also find us on Twitter at CoordinatePod, and you can tell us things there, anything you want, really. You know, you can ask us about about reading gay pornography or Attack on Titan, and how did Connie's mum get pregnant? All these questions are answered elsewhere. You can also catch us at the coordinatepod@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And again, feel free to leave us any type of reviews or 5-star ratings on any podcatching apps that you happen to use. Spotify, Apple iTunes, Good Pods, I think it's called. It's the one everyone's using nowadays. Is it Good Pods? Let's have a look. I'll get it on my phone. Yeah, Good Pods, it's called. Yeah, Good Pods is quite cool because you can follow people and then see what they're listening to and then get recommendations for other shows. Really cool, really cool. But yeah, you can go onto that and you can support us there as well. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. So I hope you enjoy next week's episode. And remember, if you're going to pilot a giant mech, then you're probably living in the wrong area and you're being very heavily persecuted against by other societies. So I apologise for that. Yeah, don't know what to say, really. See you later. Bye. Love you all.
R. Push it, push it, ooh, baby, 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 ooh, baby, 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 get up on this. Ow, baby. Salt and pepper's here. Now wait a minute, y'all, this dance ain't for everybody, only the sexy people, so all you fly mothers, get on out there and dance, I said.